Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. And I am on a mission. Hold on 1 second, and then I will start this over again. Did you enter? Okay. So, thank you to whoever just joined. I am just waiting for my guests, but I'm going to start over again. So, hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and to empower people, especially adults, to own their voice and talents that come in so many different forms. I created this space to talk with people with all different kinds of jobs, hobbies, and interests, and to have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around 3 questions. 1, how do you define creativity? 2, how do you incorporate it into your life? And 3, why do you think that it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So I believe that sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. So my inspiring guest for today is Myra Lean. She is a certified hypnotherapist and founder of Be Out of Your Mind, a company which is the mission to inspire more people to boldly follow their bliss by getting out of their rational, limited, and survival mind and to tap into their inner guidance, their heart, body, intuition, and emotions. Myra, welcome to the space. So click on the circle that's next to the colorful creative circle that says tap here to call in. And then I'll invite you up. So Myra, not sure if you can hear me, but there is the circle next to the colorful creative circle. There's a few of them. There we go. There you are.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
So good. I feel like a congrats is in order.
Oh my gosh. I am like kind of out of my mind. And I have to say, because I'm like, if it wasn't you, I wouldn't be doing this podcast today. Because I am so friggin' like, we're already at number one in 4 categories.
Woo!
Yes. So for anybody who's listening at this point, so happy that you're here. And our new multi-author book, my company is I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. And our multi-author book, which Myra, oh my God, I can't wait for you to meet her. She is an amazing contributor to the book. It's called Creativity Is Whatever You Want It to Be. We are expanding the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empowering people to find their voice. And each contributor defined what creativity meant to them and how it's affected their lives. So it's on Amazon Kindle right now, and you can, I'm going to put the links in here, but you can purchase. It's 99 cents. Please share. And these stories need to be heard.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, as you were talking, and we've been talking so much about obviously creativity and, you know, all the different ways that the different authors define creativity. But just, I think I was just imagining what our world would look like if everybody embraced creativity.
Mm. Can you imagine?
I know. Like if everybody said, hey, we're here to fully express ourselves in a certain way, I just feel like the world would be more playful. We would be, I feel like some of the things, I think our value system would definitely shift if we could absolutely embrace this notion of we're here to be creative, to express ourselves in a unique way. And less, and I know you and I have talked about this, but it's a little bit less about the money, the status, the cars, the things, all of those things are beautiful. They're beautiful because it was somebody's expression, you know, like some, you know, somebody created the MacBook and the iPhone and, you know, I helped my husband with his construction company. So like the process of designing a house, of creating, of all of that is all a beautiful, expressive process. So it's good that we desire it and we want it, but kind of switching the notion from getting the thing to creating and the process and the what happens within you and that soul connection. And I know a lot of authors kind of talked about that, kind of just going deeper and like, what is creativity and where does it come from?
Yeah. Yeah. Because so much of it is about, so many stories came from trauma. What is trauma and not just perceived trauma, but I'm saying like how the mindset. So there was a lot of trauma in people's stories, but how their mindset was and how they chose to handle certain situations is how they defined how creativity worked in their life. So the question was, how do you define creativity and how does it play out in your life? And there were stories about pivoting after career changes and surviving cancer and all these. Not one story in there is about a pencil and a paintbrush, which is the normal, which is the societal view of creativity, which is where we are here, is expanding this definition. And that's why I'm talking to all these different people who do all these different things. And I want Myra to tell you more about who she is before we dive into the questions. So Myra, can you please, please tell them more about who you are?
Yeah. Where do I start? This always stumps me because I think we usually list things that we've done.
Right.
And I feel like that's such a limited way to.
Okay. Yes, it is.
I will do it, but I think
you don't have to. You don't have to. You can please don't, because this is kind of like the synopsis view. So actually, I'm going to say this. Just give them like a little bit of a brief overview of, okay, I went from corporate to hypnotherapist, and then we'll dive into our would you rather question.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, so I have a business degree and an engineering degree, and I was a weird child because at 13, I knew I wanted to go into business and I wanted to work for these big companies. I would actually watch the commercials and I'm like, I think I could do that better. That's really where it came from, especially the Spanish channels, because at that point, the whole like, watching Dish try to promote their cable to, you know, their satellite to the Spanish, it was just so awful and so poorly done. Of course, now the companies are much better and they're hired, you know, good people to do that. But I did, I was in my dream job by the age of like 24, I want to say. So I was doing national
marketing for a Fortune 100 company with a massive budget. And then I was like, I can't believe I reached my dream already. And so it was kind of like, this isn't really what I thought it would feel like or be like. And so from there, I kind of switched into technology and did that for a few years. But then also then I started like really crushing my like, oh, I want to make this amount of money by this age. And then I got there years before. And then I was like, okay. And, you know, so like just these goals that society told me to meet, right? Okay, then do I get another degree? And so then I did that. And, you know, I was just really going through the checklist, right? Like, okay, another degree, maybe a spouse, maybe another house, like... And at some point, I was like, I'm not happy. And I've already done it. And so it's obvious that something's wrong here because I keep doing these things and it's not changing the way I feel. And that's kind of just where I opened up my mind, I guess, or my soul or whatever, opened up to the idea of, is there another way? And how can life be done differently? And at that time, it was very small things that I did. Like I went back to writing and reading and things that I always enjoyed since I was, you know, a child. And I just went back to the basics, I guess, if you will. But yeah, that of course led me to new interests, like hypnotherapy of all things. Like that would have been the last thing if you told me that's what I was going to be doing with people. I mean, so I'm not at all like offended or anything when people are like, what do you just say you do? Because I'm like, trust me, that would be very weird for me too, you know, especially for my old self. But yeah, honestly, and I'm not even going to say and pretend that I'm now at a place where like, and now I found, you know, I don't know, like new, I don't want to make it seem like you then transition and immediately go into this like beautiful place of like pure happiness and you're fully fulfilled and blessed and everything. It's like, it's still a funny journey of figuring out like, okay. Like I'm still in the middle of like balancing like, wait, but there are still a lot of things that I want or even balancing like, wait, do I actually want this? Or is this still part of my conditioning of like, this is who you need to be. And like kind of figuring that out is definitely like not an easy journey. And it takes a lot of self-awareness, a lot of reflection to really tune in to like, who am I? Who am I without the list and without the opinions of others? And that's, you know, that requires a lot of discipline and kind of internal self-awareness, I guess.
Yeah, I love so many words I just circled of what you said, but I want to acknowledge the New Normal live cast. Thank you so much for your participation. I'm seeing everything that you're writing. And yeah, they're totally getting what you're saying, Myra. The words that are standing out to me are like conditioning, self-awareness, reflection, and discipline. Mm-hmm. Those kind of just jumped off the page to me when you were saying it. It's just, it does, it takes work. It's easy to stay in something, even though you're not happy with it, because you don't have to do the work to actually dive into yourself. Mm-hmm. And diving into yourself isn't the most comfortable because we don't always really know ourselves.
Yeah.
We just kind of surface know ourselves, and there's certain things that we're in denial about. I mean, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I was doing another podcast interview earlier this week, and somebody was like, okay, so how do you do it? Like, how do you get back, you know, to yourself, essentially? And my answer was with a lot of compassion.
Yeah.
Because is it really an answer? Like, it's not like, for example, hypnotherapy. Hypnotherapy can help. Meditation, you know, yoga, like, free writing. Like there's so many things that you could do, but it doesn't matter how you do it. as far as like method or methodology, it's more about just being compassionate, because I think that's really where we get hung up, where we say, I'm this way and I don't want to be this way anymore, which mm-hmm. that's not compassion, right? So even just starting there with, well, where you are, why is that not okay? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you feel like you need to be different or you need to be somewhere else? So even like just starting there with like the, wait, what are you actually pushing against and what part of you are you fully not accepting and why?
Yeah.
But then even as you uncover things and you kind of begin to find where these conditions came from, you have to have compassion, because when I work with clients, they're just like, I can't believe I fell for that. You know, I was 10 years old and somebody made me feel like I was not good enough, or I was stupid, or I was different or whatever. And I believed it. And it might have not been one person. It might have been society, right? You failed a test that got you put in the other school, right? And then yeah. your whole life you're like, oh well, you know, right. I'm not smart like other people, or you know, whatever it was that caused a conditioning, you have to be compassionate with yourself, which is like, come on, like anybody in that situation would have came to the same conclusion.
Right. But it's like, we don't have the skills. We don't have the tools yet. And you know what? We're going to stop this right now because I need to get to the questions. And then we're going to dive in even more, because we're going to have a conversation, which is going to be incredible.
You know, I can talk, so you got to reel me back.
I was like, you know what? I don't even have to write anything down. I do a free thing. I'm like with Myra. And anyway, with the state that we're in, with our number one so far, four number ones, bestsellers. Yes. It's just like riding on a high right now. So, okay. So quick, would you rather, and then we'll go to the first question. So curious about your answer on this. Would you rather be trapped in the middle of a food fight or a water balloon fight?
Water balloon fight. For sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Because it's like, it's just water. Like, it's going to be fun. Food, it's like, depends what kind of food. Like, I just don't know. No, absolutely not. I would much rather... Absolutely. Water balloon fight. That was easy.
Thank you, audience, too. This is great. I've never had audience participation in this question. So, yes, everybody agreed with water. I just got a visual in my head of like Animal House. Yeah. When they stood up, food fight. And all of it was, yeah, it is messy. Okay, so here we go. Myra, how do you define creativity?
Yeah, I don't have the one-liner for this.
Good.
because, of course, that's why I wrote a whole chapter on it. The book that came out today, and honestly, I didn't even want to provide an answer. It was more, here's some things to think about. Because I think that's the best way for any one of us to grow. It's to kind of contemplate and to kind of see, like, is that true in my life, rather than having someone give you an answer. So let me give you guys a little bit of what I shared in the chapter. I think creativity is just the nature of existence. So if we think about the beginning, you know, the Big Bang, or, you know, whatever, well, that is our understanding of at least time and space and relativity. So if that's the beginning, and it was a point in time, and then everything kind of expanded and kind of went from there, and different elements and things kind of merged and reacted, and you know, fast forward, right, billions of years. And here we are in this like beautiful existence. But it's still going. I think that's the thing. Like, it's just the nature of who we are. So if we look at the trees and the plants and the seasons and the tides and our life and the literally like the nails that grow every single minute, every single second, the hair on our head, like everything is in constant motion, expanding, growing, going through these cycles. And then we have our life. And we somehow think that our life is not part of this. You know what I mean? Like the entire universe is on this thing, being and expanding and creating and becoming more. And I mean, if we talk about technology, right, in the last 100 years, like how our society has like, whoa, you know, everything that has been done. And then we think about our life and we're like, somehow it's just different, right? Like, oh no, like with my life, I have to really do it differently and I have to figure it out and I have to map it out and I have to know it right now and I have to know my next step. And it's like, what if who you are and who you're meant to be is just in you and it's ingrained in you, just like the seed becomes a massive maple tree. It's like that seed isn't trying, you know, it's not like struggling and figuring it out along the way. Of course, there's like the challenge of breaking through the soil and there's the environment piece and there's a lot of factors to it. Yes, absolutely. But it like you are who you are. And there is a beautiful essence, I think, in all of us that is meant to be. And it's just who you are. It's who you are naturally. And so the creative process to me is just you being you without the checklist, the burden, the opinions of others. Because I think what happens is, unlike the rest of the world that, you know, the plants that are just kind of existing, we take into heavy consideration what other people think about what we should be doing. And we look at our neighbor and we're like, well, they're doing that. And maybe I want to be that, you know? So I just think we get a little bit mixed in when we start to look outward into who we need to be instead of inward.
Hmm. Yeah. Wow. Very philosophical answer. But yeah, it's so, yeah, your nails grow, your hair grows, everything is in motion, everything is growing. So why isn't our life part of the cycle? And it's so true that we get stuck. We get stuck in this concept of expansion. I mean, we always are expanding.
Yeah.
But we put so much restriction on ourselves because of what you're saying, because of we care what people think, because this happened to us. And it's our paradigm that we keep playing over and over again. It's our story that we keep allowing to define us, when that's not really who we're meant to be.
Yeah. Expansion is our nature. Having it be a joyful experience is our choice. So yeah. That's why kind of my whole like be out of your mind comes into play. It's like if you're really trying to rationalize this and figure it out and weighing the pros and cons, it's going to be very hard for it to be joyful, because our mind is limited to the information of the past and also in the way that it processed that information in the past, which is different for everybody. So it's very limited. So when we talk about our future, if we talk about even the next segment of our day right after this interview, if we talk about what's going to happen tomorrow, much less in a few years, like, our mind cannot so I got a call. Am I still on?
Yeah, I was like, what? I was like a cliffhanger.
I'm sorry, I got a call. It's
okay. So our mind cannot
begin to like grasp anything that has not happened already. Which is why we try to project our future based on our past. And it's like our future has nothing to do with our past. And so if we stay in our mind, this whole process of like what's coming next and what can we create in the future and who can we be will be very painful, because we can never our mind can never know, which is where our instincts, our intuition, our gut comes in, because that perspective, I like to call it the soul, because that's like the best way that I can wrap my mind around it. It's like our soul knows and has the broader perspective of what is possible for us. So that's where we kind of have to get out of our mind a bit if we really do want this expansion experience to be pleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm looking at, so new normal, so my definition of creativity, the human construct of expressing ideas, thoughts, feelings, and perceived experience, both micro and macro level of all material and no material existence. Mm. Yes, judgmentalism, we are taught.
Yeah.
It stunts growth. Yeah. Yes, yes, and yes, it does. It stunts growth and yeah. This whole expansion thing. Actually, at one point when you were talking about how, like, you mentioned technology and the cycles and everything, and it just made me immediately think of my husband told me when he was looking through, like, a National Geographic or learning about it somewhere, that they actually found something that was like a battery all the way back in Egyptian times.
Yeah.
And, so it's kind of like this idea of, you know, we think that we've discovered and explored, you know, we've just made these discoveries, but there could have been something like that before. And then for whatever reason, it was lost.
Yeah.
And reformed and found. I don't know. I just thought, I was like, whoa, that is so cool.
Yeah. I believe, I don't want to misquote or misreference, but I believe it was in the Conversations with God book series where it is explained that, yeah, there were advanced societies, much more advanced societies than what currently exist, but their consciousness was not at the level of their technology.
Mm.
So it was kind of an almost like self-destruct kind of situation. Of course, we don't know, right? Like, this is a theory, you know, right. I'm stating this as fact, but this is what was expressed as a theory, I guess, in the book. But I mean, obviously there's evidence that shows that actually there were advanced societies. And I think that we have an opportunity right now, and I think we're seeing it, where there's a lot of people focused on the consciousness piece of what we're doing, right? The ethics and the how we're going about it. And this, I hopefully it's the conversation with book series, because I would hate to misquote, but it really brings to the surface that perhaps we are actually quite primitive. Like, even though we think that we're advanced, obviously compared to like the history and the information that we have on record, but perhaps the way that we're operating is quite, like, if you could put it like as an adult, like, we're probably toddlers really in the
mm-hmm.
like how much we have to grow. And honestly, like, when I look at our, like, everything, most of us behave as toddlers.
We
like,
do.
We aren't any more evolved than that. We really are. Like, we're bigger and we're getting older, you know, like, but really, like, from our politicians to our leaders in corporate to just if we look at ourselves, like, we really are still taught. Like, we throw tantrums. We, you know, we're still, you know how the toddlers, I think it's around the age of like 2-ish or so, where they start to say like my toy.
Yeah.
Start to get like the possessiveness. I think we're there. Mm. Like, oh no, this is mine. And that's, you know, and this is mine. And we just want more. And so it's like this association. Mm-hmm. It kind of makes sense. Like, maybe we are really just not that evolved much as we think we are.
That is so funny. It's true. It's true. This consciousness, that's why they say, you know, this evolution, and I don't know enough to speak about it, but the 3D, the 4D, the 5D, that there's this up leveling in consciousness when you get to that next phase. But yeah, you just brought it. Like, I had an image of when you said, the 2-year-old stage. I remember being at it was the JCC, Jewish Community Center nearby, and we were leaving, and my son decided to throw a tantrum when he was like 2 or 3, and he threw himself in the doorway and just started kicking and screaming. Mm-hmm. And I just stood there, and some teenagers were walking by, and I said, "Birth control." This is a perfect reason why you should have birth control. And they just looked at me like I was crazy. I was like, I'm not going to freak out about this, but I don't know how I'm going to get him out of the door. He's just going to have to calm down before he hurts somebody.
Right.
Hurts himself.
I know.
But yeah, that whole how we are as adults haven't gotten a lot past certain stages.
We have not. I mean, we're good at pretending. We're really good at like showing up the way we need to show up. But when we're honest and when we're just, you know, like we have like tempered tantrums, probably more than we want to admit. And but it's okay. I mean, it's where we are. And just like we wouldn't tell the 2-year-old like what's wrong with you, you know, get it together. That's the same compassion that we need to have with ourselves.
Yeah.
It's like, it's okay. It really is okay. You know, like you don't, and that's why I love the analogy with plants, because we can vary, like we get it when it's there, right? We get that the seed needs time in the ground, and we get that it's not going to bear fruit until it's at a certain level. And we're not like, oh, idiot, you know,
right?
We're not, you know, we understand just the cycle and the flow and the process. But when it comes to ourselves,
giving the compassion,
no way. Yeah. It's like, come on, like get it together. And it's like, what? So compassion's hard, and it's honestly even easier to talk about here than to really be it and bestow it upon yourself, especially in the moments when you really need it.
So this is where I'm going to say to the listeners live and to the replay, be aware of this. Compassion, like, when are you giving yourself grace and compassion? Are you giving yourself grace and compassion? Because it truly is. We went out to dinner last night, and I felt so, the waitress was really sweet, but she was so unkind to herself.
Oh.
And I felt so bad for her, because she's a little older, and she just was like, oh God, I'm stupid. I made another mistake. And I just wanted to like give her a hug because I was like, it's okay. It's not a big deal. But she kept, you know, she was so deprecating to herself, self-deprecating.
Yeah.
And that was just a perfect example of just like, wasn't a big thing. Just be kind. You don't need to give those words to yourself all the time.
Yeah. The easiest way to see it is to see it in others.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to be that self-aware, to be honest. It really is. Even I feel like I'm self-aware, and even I sometimes don't see the very obvious things that are pointed out until I'm annoyed with somebody else, or I'm frustrated, or I'm wishing that somebody could behave differently than how they're behaving.
Right.
Then I ask myself, the author is not, I can't remember her name, but the book is Loving What Is, and she has like the 4 questions. But it's like, anytime that you are angry, like really angry, annoyed, or feeling, you know, betrayed, like whatever it is, like that's a perfect moment to be like super self-aware. And of course, like asking your question, like, okay, what is the thought that I'm having? It starts with, is it true? Which that's sometimes the most powerful thing. Like that's already like a lot of self-awareness. Like if you can get to like, is it true? Like whatever it is that I'm thinking, like, this person is so unreliable, right? Like, is it true? Or did it just happen 2 times? Right? Like, are they like literally like, this is who they are? And so that's one, I think the first question. The other one is to actually reverse it and to say, I'm unreliable, and let that sit for a second. Or I'm like, whatever it is that you're judging someone about, like, oh, they always, you know, they're so inconsiderate, or they're so judgmental, they're so this and that. Just
just play with it. It's so powerful when you do it and just sit with like, I'm judgmental.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, I am. Like, I was just judging them.
Yeah, because we're totally, the triggers are usually something that we do. Yeah.
So anytime you're really, somebody else is really, and honestly, there's been like, and the people who are the best are actually the people who the universe has very intentionally put very close to your life. So it's your spouse, your kids, your mom, your dad, your siblings. It's those people that you are 100% certain know it's their fault and they need a change. It's like that person and it's that behavior that you actually need to sit with and be like, wait, am I? I'm messy. Maybe I'm messy. Or maybe I'm this and that. Just find that a lot of times, at least I find that it's a part of me that I've suppressed or that I've controlled or that I've learned to discipline. And I'm just mad that they're able to fully still express it.
Express it. That word express. I love that word express. So let's move on to the second question. Okay. So the second question is, we want to hear more about how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Okay. Well, with my definition, obviously, I think this is easy. It's everything that we've talked about. It's the how can I be more self-aware and intentional about the life that I'm creating, because I believe that my creative process is my entire life. And for me, it's the emotional journey is what I focus on. So I try to be in tune with how am I feeling. So for example, if I'm angry, annoyed, I kind of have some processes that I go through, like the one that I shared, with trying to understand that better. And then when I'm joyful, kind of acknowledging, and I think that's harder for me to be happy and acknowledge it and milk it and allow myself to stay there longer. I think it's part of my conditioning. It's just like, I immediately, it's like, wait, something's going to go wrong. Or, you know, like I don't let myself embrace it. So for me, it's just being aware of that emotional journey and being conscious of like, where do I want to spend more time? What's going on? And also then noticing what happens, because a lot of times when you are joyful, you get the inspiration, you meet the right people, things happen, you become an author in a book, and it goes to number one Amazon bestseller and all that stuff. And so like, just also noticing what happens. I'm not just saying live in your own world and that's it. Like, no. And then like, you'll see how actually your life does begin to change, but it's not because you forced the external conditions. It's because you were so in tune with your inner world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like those times when, and we've spoken about this before separately, but you're feeling a certain way and you're just like, you know what? I need to just get out. I need to, like when you jumped off the rocks, you know, I just need to go and jump in some water. And because I can, and because I need to, because emotionally that's what I'm craving right now, or I'm craving change. I'm craving something. And when we allow ourselves these things, it opens up for so much. Mm-hmm. It just opens our world to, we can see better. It's like, oh, there was that rock there there was that thing there the whole time. I never even saw it. It's because you're actually like open and aware and more able to receive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without the blinders.
I'm like in my own little like pity party, right? And then I'm like, wait, like this, you know, when I kind of come to and I'm like, ugh, like, okay, what's the most fun thing that I could do? And it's like, oh yeah, I live 10 minutes from one of the most amazing lakes in the US. How about I go there? You know, like so simple, you know, when we're in the negative thought spiral, you know, literally it's a spiral because everything's gaining momentum. So it's either gaining momentum towards the things you desire or towards the things you don't want. So you're definitely going somewhere. And it's like, okay, if you can be self-aware to say, wait, but this isn't, I don't like this direction. Is there anything I could possibly think of right now that can make this a little bit better? Even just opening that idea or that question will bring something to the table. But yeah, you can't think of it at all. It will not even come to your mind if you just allow yourself to just like waddle in the like pity or whatever's going on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the emotions, sometimes I personally think you need to be in that space for a little bit just because you need to feel it. It's that contrast of being like, okay, I'm feeling this. I'm entitled to feel this for this amount of time. And then let's move on because it can't take up my whole life here.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
You're absolutely right. Because some people try to move on like a little bit too quickly or without acknowledging how they're feeling. And that's, am I still on? I think I might have.
Yes, you are.
Okay. All these alerts and stuff on my phone. I apologize.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's repression. It's like if you're not expressing it, you're repressing it.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of the other authors, I think, beautifully kind of shared how they've been able to transform some of their darkest moments into something beautiful or, just kind of made it their own.
Exactly.
Like absolutely owned it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the stories throughout. So much about transformation, planting seeds, courage, trauma, like all of these words, listening to your, the whisper. Mm-hmm. Just so, so beautiful. And before we get off this call, I'm going to check and see if we got any more number ones. Because I'm here, my phone is like blowing up on the side here. I'm like, I'm not going to look now. I'm going to get distracted. But new normal. Thank you for all that you're saying. Yeah. So many people get stuck in limbo land. The we cannot until mindset is stifling. Yeah. We get in our own way. So routine, do you have like a morning thing that you do, or does it change, or is there something that you like to do, or if you're like, no, I don't do anything, I just kind of make it up as I go along?
I meditate. That's probably the only thing that I'm like, I try to be as consistent as possible about, and I try to do it as early as I can. I listen to something uplifting as early as I can. So YouTube videos, I have like a whole like playlist of things that I like, just to get my mind in the right place, I guess, or in a good place. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it like, it is, I guess it is, it's more like a habit, I guess, at this point. Like, it's like, okay, I play this, I meditate, and yeah, I that's it. I have made it more complicated in the past, absolutely. And I've tried to be a lot more disciplined, and I just couldn't stick to it. Mm-hmm. So I've really skimmed it down and said, okay, if I could do one thing, what would it be? And I was like, okay, meditate. And then I think I've shared this with you before, but it was when I had made it really, really complicated. Like, I had this whole like sheet that I made with that had like multiple 10 sets of checklists. Like, it was just like really crazy. And I was like, okay, that's not working. And so I was like, if there's something that I could absolutely stick to, what would it be? And so I was like, I would want it to be something for my mind, something for my soul, something for my body. And so I was like, okay, I want to read every day. That would be for my mind. I want to meditate every day. That would be for my soul. For my body, I want to do some sort of physical activity. And that's it. And so I've just tried to keep it simple. I mean, sometimes one of those things doesn't work out. Sometimes two of those things doesn't work out. I do prioritize the meditating because I feel like if I can get that right, not right, because honestly, I don't know what a good meditation is or anything like that, but at least have something consistent or intentional where I'm saying I care enough about being still for a second. And sometimes my mind's going crazy, but I still try to show up for it.
Mm-hmm. I like thank you for saying that about the whole making it too complicated. Because I think when these morning routines and stuff do get spoken about, if you set up all these expectations for yourself, well, I'm going to do this and that, and then this, and then I'm not going to do this for 2 hours. And then it's just all these rules where your brain kind of, I don't know, my brain wants to fight against things. It's like, well, you told me I couldn't. And I know that it's habit forming and, you know, it's a matter of working with things. And, but I feel like if you set it up too much, it's like, it's like setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And we want to do everything now. I know what that's like. Like, we just want to get it like, okay, I just need to like get it all together right now. And like, these are all the things that I'm going to do to get it together. But honestly, like if we would allow ourselves the generosity and compassion to like, just change one thing and see if you can stick to it for 30 days. Honestly, like if you did that, I forgot who it was. It was definitely like some sort of like motivational speaker stuff, but he just adopts one new habit a month. And he's like, at the end of the year, I have 12. Like, that's more than most people.
Right.
But it's like, what we do is we set 12 at the beginning of the year and try to stick to them all.
Right, right.
That's so hard.
Your New Year's resolutions. Yeah. With the checklist, like you said, like, boom, boom.
Okay, and then we just give up on all of them. And so, yeah, it's hard.
So let's wrap up to the third question as we're getting to the top of the hour, which is just kind of putting in a box, put a little bow on it. So why is creativity important?
Oh, man. It's important only if you care how you feel. So I think if you don't care, you can ignore what creativity could possibly look like in your life. But if you do care, then that does require some intention and some awareness and then some seeking of, okay, if I do care how I feel, what do I like? And then once you start to explore interests or start to become curious, you will find yourself expressing that curiosity in some sort of way. And that's creativity.
Oh my God. I love that. Creativity is only important if you care how you feel.
Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Because yeah, if you don't care, then it's like, okay, whatever. But if you actually care, then you're going to take that deep dive and seek and explore and be curious and be aware and give yourself grace and fall into those emotions. Let yourself feel your feeling.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times with a lot of creative endeavors, and especially for like, I guess one thing that I didn't mention, especially since this is a podcast, but I'm Mexican, from Mexican immigrant parents, didn't grow up with much. You know, we were kind of, especially the Mexican culture, I mean, you just work hard and you do the hard work and you do it good and then that's it. And you just are grateful for whatever you get. So this kind of idea of like being an artist or expressing yourself or all of this is almost like luxury, right? But then as I've been working with so many people, I mean, not just from the Latino culture, but a lot of minorities and actually all people. I mean, I work with so many different people, but we end up with so much trauma around the way we were raised and what we were told and the conditions around our lovability. And like, honestly, like it seems selfish. I think like if I were to say, hey, okay, I'm going to go spend time and figure out what makes me happy because I care about how I feel. That just sounds a little bit like, okay, am I back? I got another call. Okay.
Yeah, you are.
So it seems kind of selfish, but if you think about it, like when I've worked with people and we go back to their childhood and we figure out like, oh, I see like my mom was just trying to love me the way that they could, which was, you know, provide for me and then that's it. It's like, honestly, I could have done without that. And if she could have just said, I love you, that would have made a difference in my life. Mm-hmm. And if she would have just been happy to be home, or be happy, period, and I could see that, I think that would have made the biggest difference. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's like we think that we have to do all these things for other people. And it's like, honestly, all the people who love you and that you love them back, they just want to see you happy. Yeah. So honestly, like the best thing you could do is be selfish enough to care about how you feel. And everything around you will shift. It'll be better for everyone is what I'm trying to say. So it seems selfish, but it's honestly what everyone that really loves you, that's around you, cares for and needs from you is for you to find that.
I couldn't agree more. One of my guests that I spoke to the other day, it wasn't her quote, but she said it, selfish is the new sexy. And I was like, yes, I love that.
Write a book.
Selfish is the new sexy. And you know, when I left my teaching position 3 years ago, I did it because I needed to do it, because I needed a change. I didn't have the best plan in place, but I was just like, I know that this is a fork in the road and I need to take the other way because I need to be present for my family. I need to be present for myself and I need to be happier because I'm not showing up for them. Because they're seeing me come home and cry,
yeah,
or be cranky or not be able to do things because I'm have to do my lesson plans and I'm all caught up in this emotion. And when I was in that routine of a few months into not being at my regular job and all this kind of stuff, I'm like, God, I said to the kids, do I seem different? They're like, oh my gosh, we are so grateful. And they're older, you know, sense of being older teenagers, you know, they were like 16 and 19 and they were like, oh my God, we are so grateful that you left. And even recently, like 3 years out, you know, our daughter just went to Costa Rica and being able to do, you know, this is the time that you go back to school and all this kind of stuff. And she's like, God, can you imagine if you had that kind of a full-time job now? We wouldn't be able to do any of this stuff. I wouldn't be able to be with her.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful for the way that I'm grateful for everything that I've had up to this point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when you said that all your loved ones want for you is to be happy. Yeah.
It's true. It's the best thing for them because honestly, like we all know this, like we know that however you raise your kids, like whatever you tell them is not as impactful as like what you model for them.
Yeah.
So like, don't you want your kids to be happy or, you know, like your whoever it is that you care about? It's like, yeah, you do. So what's the best thing you could do is show them what that takes and what it looks like. And in my experience, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And that's why I say boldly follow your bliss and be out of your mind because it requires both of those things. Mm-hmm. It requires a lot of courage and because society will make you feel bad about it for sure. But it's you have to do what's right for you and for those around you. And honestly, like at the end of the day, that's usually what's best for humanity as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, so beautiful. And new normal, yes. Thank you for saying all of this and sharing. Yeah, said that their mom was a Jehovah's Witness and there was a lot that kind of went along with that and what they were exposed to. So, yes.
The guilt, you know, new normal said, I can relate to the guilt of selfishness. Like guilt and shame, those two things. I mean, if you read Brene Brown, she's big on that.
Oh God, yes.
That is definitely something that a lot of us were raised. I mean, it's the, I follow a lot of like Latino, like accounts and stuff, but a big joke is like how we're raised off guilt. Yeah. Like you gotta do this or, you know, like you're basically causing me damage. It's like, we're just raised on guilt. And of course, shame too, especially with a lot of like religions, you know, that's kind of like, that's the way, right? To get you on the good list or whatever.
Keeps you in line. Keeps you in check. Oh my gosh. Myra, can you please tell people how they can find you?
Yeah. So Myra Leen, Mayraleen. Really, you can just put that on Google and you'll find me. But my website's myerlene.com, Instagram, it's at myerlene. And, or you can email me at hello@myerlene.com. I love hearing from people. And that's how you can connect with me.
Myra is such a bright light. You need to speak with her and get into her energy because, yeah, she just exudes. And you need to purchase Creativity Is, whatever you want it to be, so you can read her story and 19 other people, because truly, this is an act of passion. I am just so truly grateful for having the thought and then putting it out there, and then these beautiful humans shape it. And just so grateful. So thank you, thank you, thank you for presenting yourself to me and just allowing me to know you. I'm really grateful for it.
Thank you, Hollis. This was so much fun. Thank you guys for listening in and for sharing and co-creating this experience. It was so, so beautiful and so fun. Thank you.
So beautiful. So this space is all about inspiring, sharing, connecting. So please like, follow, and share so we can spread these stories. We've always needed it, but we need it now more than ever to lift each other up. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, a good evening, wherever you are in this world. And we'll be talking to you soon. So goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.